Now, it's been 4 months now since we had our last conference, but we're going to continue on this series called The New Pentecost, Living in the Divine Will. And the theme in the writings of Venerable Luisa Picaretta, that's her last name, the Lord has revealed many things about what the spirituality of living in the divine will means. And really, what he's doing here, he's revealing what happened within his divinity, which is not in the gospel. See, how the humanity and the divinity of the Lord interacted, but also the level on which he lived, not only just what we see in his humanity, but what he was doing in his divinity. It just boggles your mind. Now, what could God do in a moment? Everything. See, his power is beyond our imagination. And so he can cover all time. So there are insights here that challenge you. And it's a theology that even I have had to go through, but it doesn't deny what we know. But he's revealing things about God's inner life that we have not had in our theology. But it doesn't mean it's not true. See, theologians have studied this even while she was living. And they said, at first, we found it challenging. And after reading it over, thinking about it, we had to say, it doesn't contradict what God is. And so I ask you to keep an open mind on that. Now, what the Lord said when while he was on earth, that he prepared gifts. Now, he uses a word that is not in Scripture. It's called fonts, F-O-N-T-S. Now, you look in a holy water font. It's a source that you go to for holy water. So let me just prepare what I've had here. That'll kind of break it up for you. Now, the context in which the Lord uses the word font seems to mean a spiritual reservoir, a fountain, or a storehouse. Think of our warehouses and so on. It's a divine depot of heavenly gifts. And speaking of what his humanity did while on earth in close union with his divinity, Jesus said, I did nothing but enter into the immensity of the eternal will. And then these words, and I opened up many fonts for the benefit of creatures. Now he means us. Now that's a quote. Now I'm saying here, notice that he is speaking of things that have not been revealed up until this time. This involved his inner life and the interchange between his divinity and humanity. Now he went on to add this, I gave the human family the right to approach these fonts or sources and to take whatever they wanted. These resources were not intended only for a few elect souls, but all the human family. So I'm paraphrasing now, I'm commenting. So you do not have to be a saint to use them. That means every humble soul, even the most unlearned, can use these special spiritual fonts for their spiritual growth and for mankind. He mentions them, and I'm quoting here, the font of love, of prayer, reparation, pardon, glory, and the font of my blood. We would say his precious blood. Now, it seems that he meant other fonts when he said, how many gifts, now he uses the word gifts, has my humanity implored on behalf of man. I left the doors open so that they could enter at their ease. But how few there are that enter. Every one of those words is important. Now, Jesus uses the word gift here. Here we might think that it refers to the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit or the nine charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit mentioned in the epistles of St. Paul. But Jesus' words to define the fonts, namely like love, prayer, reparation, pardon, glory, blood, do not fit the gifts of the Holy Spirit, mentioned St. Paul. Now, further study would be needed to settle this point. I've looked elsewhere in her writings as much as I have, but so far I've not been able to find further clarification of this point. It would seem that the fonts are open to all God's people when they wish to enter His will and want to use them, whereas the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operative only when a soul is used by the Holy Spirit at certain times. Now, we have the seven gifts, but they're not always in operation. See, souls who are deeply recollected, for example, and committed to the Spirit, like contemplatives and souls called to high sanctity. Remember what Jesus said in the quote I just gave above. I gave the human family the right to approach these fonts and to take whatever it wanted. I left the door open so that they could enter and out at their ease. That means whatever you wish. See? Now, so these fonts are there for our use whenever we wish to use them, at their ease, at their convenience. No special time. But whenever there's a need for any one of them, as God inspires us to use them, you do not need Visa, MasterCard, or American Express. Just your heavenly baptismal card. I'm paying this out. or the spiritual character imprinted on your soul at baptism. In other words, your heavenly credit card. This entitles you as a child of the Father to approach Him with every confidence and ask for all your needs. Jesus is only telling us how to do it and the many ways we can use to obtain countless blessings and favors from this beloved Father. Now, how do you use these fonts? First of all, who? He explains who can use these fonts. He says, it is the soul that, quote, enters my will, that, quote, shakes these fonts so as to make them rise up and overflow and thereby flood the entire earth. Now, Jesus implies that when these fonts are in use, they become active to such an extent that their blessings and favors overflow and cover the entire earth, that is, upon all of mankind and God's creation. Now, these are very precious fonts and have immense effects on the world. Now, the next question is, how does a person make use of these fonts? Well, the way Jesus puts it, as a soul enters within my will, if it wants to love, for example, it draws near the font of love by loving or by having the intention to love God. Then it shakes the font, he says. He uses the word water. The waters, by being shaken, grow, overflow, and spread out through all the earth. That's a quotation. Now, a person might begin by saying, now, this is my way of doing it. Jesus, in your divine will, I want to love you as you deserve. Or you can say, Jesus, I have this intention of loving you by using your font of love. At this point, the font of love is, as Jesus said, shaken. It means open. It moves into action. The waters of divine love grow and then overflow, spreading out over all the earth. Jesus also adds, at times, the shaking is so strong that the waves rise up so high as to touch heaven and to spread out through the heavenly fatherland. Now, what he's saying here is that it is easy to make use of these fonts. We simply enter into his divine will, since we have already made the consecration to the divine will, and begin to just love him in expressions of love, like, Jesus, I love you with every beat of my heart, with every breath I take. I want to renew that love throughout this day. Now, how many fonts are there? He mentions a number of them, and we gave you a quick word on each. The font of love, prayer, reparation, pardon, that includes forgiveness. Of glory, in other words, glory and praise. Charismatic people have been always saying that. Glory to you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Okay? And the font of his precious blood. But he implies that there are more when he says, for how many gifts has my humanity implored on behalf of man? Now, besides the fonts mentioned already, could it be, and that's just my opinion, could it be that there would also be a font of healing, see, of wisdom, of fortitude, of discernment? In other volumes of the Revelation, Jesus says that it is He who is active in us when we do His will in our duties, our obligations as we see them as part of our state of life. In fact, he says, it is in this order. I am praying, you are praying with me. I am doing the housework, you are doing it with me. I am writing this letter, and you are writing it with me. Now, this being the case, his gifts and fonts in other forms are available for us as we fulfill his will, the duties of our state of life. If he's active in us, then it is with all his holiness and his gifts are unlimited. He is the source of all the fonts of holiness. Well, let's take some examples now how to use these fonts. Let's say the font of love. Now, Jesus explains, he says, how to use the various fonts. For example, speaking speaking of the font of love, he says, it is the soul that enters into my will that makes use of these fonts. And he says, if it wants to love, it draws near the font of love by loving, or by having the intention to love. It shakes the font. He uses the word shake to indicate the font comes into action. What happens at that point is described in these words, the waters, namely of love, by being shaken, grow, overflow, and spread out through all the earth. Now keep in mind, the soul, when it enters the divine will, is now on God's level. Now that's something new to some of you. And in his divine life, it enters the divine will. It is now on God's level, and the love of God within God has an effect everywhere because of God's omnipresence. He's everywhere. Depending on the holiness of the particular person and their total surrender to the divine will, the shaking of the waters of love can be so strong, Jesus says, that the waves rise up so high as to touch heaven and spread out through the heavenly fatherland. Now, he's pointing out, in other words, the spiritual effect that something that we would do with him can have. So that means that when he's praying with you, well, we'll show this later, but he's only saying as far as love goes, we can help to spread God's love over countless souls, because it's Jesus praying with us. See? You have to let this sink in to see how deep this is. Now, since Jesus points out that a soul may enter the particular font at their ease, a person may use the font of love at any time, but certain times may be more powerful and fruitful than others, for example, when celebrating the Mass, for example, and especially when we receive Jesus in communion. It would seem that the use of one font may also include the use of another. For example, when you pray, do you just pray, or do you love God when you pray? So there are two fonts, he mentions, prayer and love. So after receiving Jesus in communion, we could begin with words like this. Jesus, I enter into your divine will. I surrender my will to your will, and within your divine life, I would enter your font of love. I'm nothing. You are everything. With your holiness and with your love, I want to love you as you deserve, with all the angels of heaven and all the saints, with all the faithful on earth, and all the masses being celebrated, I love you, I love you. May this I love you be repeated in every breath and beat of my heart throughout this day, and in the hearts of all your faithful. May you hear it from every voice of all your living creatures at every moment, and may you see it written on every blade of grass, every leaf, every drop of water, every stone, every flower, every hill and mountain, every star and planet and universe. May this symphony of love resound through all the universe before your loving presence as a mighty, joyful song. May it ring through all time, from Adam before his fall, down through the centuries, to the last moment in time, from the very last person on earth and the last Mass to be celebrated. But you are still not loved by everyone, namely the sinners who reject you, profane you, hate you. In their place and in each of their hearts, I would like you to hear my voice say, Jesus, I love you. And may be repeated in with every heartbeat, with every breath. Now that's a what you call praying in the round, including all of creation. And Jesus said, I take it as done. Now, this prayer of love need not be very long. It can vary in its expression. Like Jesus, in your will, I love you with every beat of my heart, with every breath, period. Now, since it's also a prayer, it can vary in its simplicity. When we're drawn to what we call the prayer of a loving look, we might enter the font of love as described above, begin with the simple words, Jesus, in your will, I love you with your own love, and then for some moments rest quietly in that thought, and from time to time repeat this little prayer as we maintain a loving awareness of Jesus' presence within us. Now at other times, when there are brief moments to pray, we might say, Jesus, in your will and in your font of love, I love you with your own heart. Amen. Also go to our Blessed Mother, and with her assistance say, Dear Blessed Mother, with your heart and in the divine font of love, I turn to Jesus and offer him the love of all hearts united with your love. In the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Jesus, I love you. Again, rest in this prayer and thought for some moments, as long as there is a loving awareness of an extended of the divine presence. This can be done easily as you are driving on an extended highway or waiting in line on any one of the many occasions that arise in our daily life. I don't know about a checkout in a supermarket, but when you're at a doctor's office, sometimes you wait as long as a half hour or more, and at other places, whatever it may be. Now, what about the font of prayer? St. Paul said, We do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit, namely the Holy Spirit, prays in us with unutterable groanings. Now, let me remind you of some important teachings of Jesus regarding our daily life with him. By giving our will to him and consecrating ourselves to the divine will, Jesus wants to take over in our lives, so much that it is really Jesus who does everything in us. This is what he means in the following words, and they apply to our use of the different fonts that he wants to use in our spiritual growth. I'm quoting this from the book that you have there, Dolores, or was it, or Glare, page 44. He says, Everything the soul does or has to do must be done as if I wanted to do it in her. If she prays, she should say, It is Jesus who wants to pray, and I pray together with him, in that order. See? If she works, it is Jesus who wants to work. It is Jesus who wants to walk. It is Jesus who wants to eat, who wants to sleep, who wants to get up, who wants to enjoy himself. And it should be like this, he said, in everything for the rest of your life, excluding errors, meaning our faults and imperfections, seeing our sins. Not only will she do everything because I want it, but she will need me because I want to do it. You have to think about how he put that. You'll do it not because you have to, or because your husband may get angry with you, but you'll do it because Jesus wants to do it. Now that makes your laundry more interesting. or the household chores that are so boring. Well, let's apply this knowledge to the use of the font of prayer. Remember the order of prayer here. It is Jesus who wants to pray in us. We join in that order. Like you're saying the rosary. Jesus, you're saying it, I'm joining you. You're celebrating Mass. Jesus, you're celebrating the Mass. I'm celebrating with you. You're making a novena. In the other prayer, if you say the Christian prayer, in that order, Jesus says, I'm doing it, you're with me. So as we enter the different forms of prayer, whether it be praise, thanksgiving, prayer of love, contemplation, prayer in the round, like I just did for you, covering all of creation, and also vocal prayer, like the Rosary, Novena, Stations of the Cross, Adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, celebrating the Mass, Christian prayer, litany, or any kind of prayer that we read, we should begin with the words, Jesus, it is you who pray, and I pray with you, and in your font of prayer. Also remember that your prayer takes on a special value because it is Jesus who is doing the praying, we're joining him. I'm not sure you know what that means. If he's doing it, it takes on the value of him doing it, not just you. Now, what do you think the value of it is?
Mm-hmm.
It's infinite. Mm-hmm. See? And only God knows how powerful, fruitful such prayer can be, as the waters of the font of prayer are shaken, overflow onto mankind. Now think of the thousands of souls who are not prepared, but they're dying. And we can be involved in praying, in other words, that they'll receive the grace of final perseverance. Remember the words of St. Paul. It is the Holy Spirit who prays in us with unutterable groanings. Now we need to develop a sense of this kind of union with Jesus as we pray. As we form the words of prayer, we should think that it is Jesus whose lips are in our lips as we articulate those prayers we're saying. I hope you realize I'm trying to give you very practical points. You can read a lot of theory, but my days are intended to really pinpoint in detail what you should be doing, showing you how to apply that. I don't think too many people do that. Now, for example, the prayer of thanks. A frequent prayer that ought to be on our lips is the prayer of thanks. Again, using the font of prayer, we might begin with Jesus. It is you who pray, and I pray with you in your font of prayer. Father, thank you for this blessed day, all its blessings, my known blessings and my hidden blessings. Thank you for the blessings of celebrating the Mass, to have received Jesus in communion. Thank you for one more day to love you, serve you, for my good health, for my dear family and friends. I want to thank you for all those who do not thank you for so many blessings they take for granted. Thank you for the blessings that you bestow under cover of crosses and trials. Now this could be extended to so many areas of our life. Each one of us should explore and apply this kind of prayer of thanks to all the many details of our daily life. You might cover your whole life. Have we thanked God sufficiently for all the things in our life? Beginning with the first moment you came into being. Did you ever thank him for that? How many will never come into being and will not therefore enjoy heaven or know God? How about the prayer of praise? Jesus, in your will and in your font of prayer, with you I praise and glorify the Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May you be glorified and honored in every heart of all your faithful on earth, together with all the angels and saints of heaven. May this hymn of glory and praise resound through all the universe. May you hear it from every heart and tongue, united with all the masses celebrated today. May this hymn of praise be united to all the songs of praise that have been offered from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve in innocence, through all the centuries until the last Holy Mass celebrated by your priest, and the last person on earth to offer you glory and praise. May all be united to the praise and glory given to you by our Heavenly Mother in all her most holy life by her prayers, virtues, gifts, and privileges. And finally, may all these hymns of praise and glory be united to the infinite glory and praise given to you, Most Holy Trinity, in every word, action, suffering, prayer of Jesus, our eternal High Priest. To all this we wish to add, the universal praise and glory given to you through all your created life, of all the species, the stars, the planets. May this symphony of glory and praise rise continuously to you, to your infinite honor and glory at every moment until the end of time. One thing that you have to think about many times, there's no time in God. So when you're on his level, past, present, and future are now. See, he never forgets the past. He knows the future. And of course, he knows the present. So for him, everything is now. But we won't understand that perfectly. You have to be God to understand that. See, there's no time. We have time. Things are gone in us. They'll never return. At least actions that have been done. First of all, as a baby, as a little child, and so forth. That's gone. But in God, it's still there. So then our prayers that are said also with God, all that is good is in the Lord, and it's there forever. See, there are some thoughts we're going to develop in the second conference on this. an extended form of praise and glory need not be required in the way I've just spoken. All we need to say briefly for the short moments of time is, Jesus, in your will and in the thought of prayer, I praise you, bless you, glorify you. May this be repeated in every moment of the day. That's it. Now, we haven't covered all the different kinds of prayer. For example, the prayer of intercession. Now, here's an important thing. Again, keep in mind what Jesus said to this servant of God, Louisa. She felt Jesus was so much a part of her that she saw him transformed completely in her, so that if she breathed, she felt his breathing in her. Then he explained, "This is how I want you, united closely to me, but do not think that you should do this only when you pray or when you suffer. No, rather always, always. If you move, if you breathe, if you work, if you eat, sleep, you should do everything as though you did it in my humanity, as though all your acts came forth from me." So then I'm adding here, when we pray to intercede for the needs of others, it is Jesus with us and in us who is interceding as we use this font, and we call it of intercession. For example, at Mass, Jesus, in your will, I'm quoting this, I'm making up a prayer. Jesus, in your will and in your font of intercession, I pray with you, and then you add here, for the removal of abortion, salvation of all the aborted babies, the conversion of abortionists, for the renewal of all our priests, bishops, cardinals, and protection and gifts for our Holy Father, Pope John Paul, more vocations to the priesthood, for Christian renewal of all families, for peace in all countries guided by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, for the poor and homeless to be given the necessities of life, protection, for the renewal of our youth, the healing of broken marriages. And you can go on, I mean, as you're inspired by your particular needs that's happening at that moment in your day or that week. Here we can add all the many needs that come up each day. Some of these needs need to be repeated every day because they're universal. We hear them in the news, peace, for example, in all the countries of the world, protection against the elements of nature, good government, health, spiritual renewal of persons, families, churches. There's no end of what we could add there. Now, what about private devotions, personal prayer? Now, your intercession, in other words. During our time of personal prayer or in prayer groups, there can be time given to intercessory prayer, beginning with the opening invocation, Jesus, in your will and in your font of intercession, we or I pray with you for, then you add. Now, when you have a prayer group, a Seneca prayer, this meeting, or whatever type of prayer group, they should provide some time, perhaps in that way, to do that. And then what about deeper forms of prayer, like prayer of contemplation, or prayer of what they call simplicity? This practice has already been mentioned, but it fits into this font of prayer. It's the simplest, highest form of prayer because it calls for a stillness of our spirit and an openness of our soul to the workings of the Holy Spirit. For example, begin with Jesus in your will and in your font of love and prayer, I pray with you. Since I am nothing, you are everything. Let it be with your love that I love you with every breath and every beat of my heart. Now, if this frame of mind can be maintained for some time, then stay in it. But when distractions come, quietly get back to the simple loving awareness of Jesus' presence and repeat that act of love. Now, this is a very simple form in which you can do this, but keep in mind you're in the Lord in this special way because of this consecration to the divine will. He says, I give you then the gift of my will. This is something new, by the way, for you that haven't been here. When you make that consecration, he says, I now give you the gift of my will. That, he said, I have not given to anybody before this time. That's why it's so new at this time. Because the time for it was not then, but now is, the words of the Our Father, will be fulfilled. So he wants our people prepared for it, and those who make this consecration are given that gift of his will. It's not permanent. In other words, every moment of our day, we're not entirely in God's will. our emotions get the best of us, our appetites, our own habitual way of doing things that are not really entirely in God's will, then we're not in His will then. But when we pray, when we think of it throughout our day, when we do the duties of our state of life, that is His will. So we are in His will then. Now, another font is called the font of pardon and forgiveness. In this font, we call upon God's infinite love and mercy for our sins and for sinners. For example, begin with Jesus in your will, your font of pardon and forgiveness, I pray with you. May your most precious body and blood offered in every Mass today and every Mass that has ever been offered in the past and will be offered in the future be accepted as atonement for my sins and all the sins of the world. I also offer you your own prayers, good works, and most holy virtues, and all the sufferings endured during your life, especially your most holy passion and crucifixion, to obtain pardon and forgiveness for all the sins of the world. May your justice be satisfied with this infinite gift. May your infinite love and mercy prevail and be extended to every soul upon earth. Now here we might consider using the chaplet of the Divine Mercy by using the words, Jesus, in your will and with you in your font of pardon, I pray. And here use the prayers as we have them in the Divine Mercy chaplet. But begin that way, Jesus, in your will, I pray. Another font that you could use would be, let's say, the font of reparation. Jesus said, prayers that are said together with me and with my own will can be given to everyone, and everyone will participate in their effects as if they had been offered for one soul alone. If 10 persons receive their benefits, the fruits to each are no less than if only 5 receive their benefits. Such is the nature of prayers said together with me and in my will. Now that's a quote there. Now I'm adding here, so when we want to make reparation for the sins of mankind, we begin by saying, Jesus, in your will and your font of reparation, it is you who now pray, and I with you. I have nothing to offer, but you are everything, and with you praying in me and with me, I would repair for the sins of mankind, the terrible offenses showered upon your infinite holiness and love. Most Holy Trinity, in union with Jesus, your beloved Son, I offer you his body and blood, soul and divinity, offered in all the holy masses celebrated today, and with his infinite merits in atonement for all the sins of the world. To this I would unite all his most holy prayers, thoughts, desires, actions, good works, heroic virtues, passion, and death, that your infinite justice may be satisfied. May your infinite love and mercy pour down upon your sinful children in forgiveness and pardon. Now here again, we encourage you to use the chaplet of Divine Mercy. Also the Divine Will we pray all the time, for in God there is no time. We can include the prayers, sufferings, heroic virtues of all the saints of all time, past, present, future, including all the masses from the first Mass celebrated by Jesus down through the centuries into the last Mass that will be celebrated at the end of time. All this offered to the Most Holy Trinity with Jesus as our eternal High Priest, praying with us. Now, this is a level that you and I have not been acquainted with. But it tells you, in other words, on His level, He covers all time. There is no time in God, so past, present, and future are just one with the Lord. It takes a while for this to sink in so that you can see, in other words, how your prayer then enters on His level. Because Jesus says, when you're praying, first of all, I'm praying, and you're joining me in prayer. So if he prays, he says, God prays. So then he covers all time. So then you can include all the masses that have been celebrated. are being celebrated, will be celebrated. Now, what do you think that includes? The dimensions there are just mind-boggling. See? All generations. See? And you begin from Adam before he fell, but not after. See? But in his state of innocence. And this is what I'm saying here. In other words, we have what we call here a heavenly theology. Jesus is telling us what he did in his divinity while he was on earth in his humanity. Now also remember, Jesus said, you should do everything as though you did it in my humanity, as though all your acts came forth from me. He makes his entire life available for us to offer to the Father in these words, pray as I pray. Place yourself entirely within my will. In my will you will find God and all creatures. Now keep in mind, we can't separate things in God. His will is God. His will is his love. His will is his life. But in us, our soul is where the faculty of will, intellect, and memory are, and imagination. See? Now, we can't think along those lines. See, in God, his will is him. So, you have to kind of remind yourself of that. So, making all things of the creatures your own, you will give them to God as if given by a single person, because the divine will owns them all. God's power keeps everybody in existence. You will place at the feet of the divinity the good acts to bring it honor, and the evil acts, he said, to redeem them with the holiness, powers, immensity of the divine will. That was the life of my humanity on earth, is what he did on earth. He went on to say, why can't you do this also? Everything is possible in union with me for those who love me. Pray in the divine will. Take the thoughts of all creatures enclosed in your thoughts, glances, words, movements, affections, desires, all those of your brothers and sisters. Thus, you will repair these actions and gain for them light, grace, and love. You will pray as I prayed, and the divine Father will be pleased. Now, I'm adding here, each individual is free to apply this in his own way, using the introductory invocation, Jesus, in your will with you, and in your font, in this case, of reparation. And then you add your own words along the lines that you may feel led to apply this. Now, I don't expect you to grasp all this right away. I should have said, you should put on your spacesuits, and ask the special assistance of the Holy Spirit, and don't make a judgment until you let this sink in and think about it, pray about it, and you will come back to it many times. But it does invite you to pray in ways that you've never prayed before, and on a level that you've never prayed before, or that you thought you could pray.
Father, in law, this kind of erases everything else that we've been reading and studying. Where you're speaking now of being on the same level with God.
It doesn't make you God.
I know that. It doesn't, but being at that same level is almost being at that spiritual marriage, that seventh stage of prayer where you encounter Jesus and that spiritual marriage takes place.
It would be for permanent, but it isn't permanent. See, he gives you the divine will as a gift, and it's not permanent until the new Pentecost. We're in it, but as he said elsewhere in all her works, he says, some enter into the mansion, let's say, of the divine will. They only enter into the lobby. Others go further in. Others go through all the rooms, if you remember when we talked about that. So that's a person like Louisa who lived in it all the time. But very few. In the new Pentecost, then it will take place. In the meantime, we're in it maybe much of our day, but we're not there always. He said, I give you the gift of my divine will. It's on loan. If you remember me saying, it's like an automobile. If I give you the loan of my automobile, while you're using it, you have it. Now, the divine will, the Lord said, I give it to you when you're doing my will, then when you're doing your duties, you're doing my will. So you're in me. Then When you do it within me, then it takes the value of me doing it with you. See, what's precious about that is that it takes the value of Jesus doing the laundry with you and doing the housework, doing the shopping. See, that's new. See, that adds more value to what you're doing. But it doesn't make you divine. First of all, we came from God. Our spirit came from God. But we weren't God, were we? But you see, inviting us to come back to that level, but it's not permanent, and it's not until the new Pentecost. And you just have to let this sink in for a while. First of all, be careful that you're not God. See, that makes that very clear. And he does point out to the fact that we have to pray for repentance, for reparation, and to also repent for our own faults.
We forget to say that, if we say the consecration, but yet we forget to say in the beginning of the prayer or the beginning of any action, I do this in your divine will, or whatever. Does that mean we
no. don't? No. If you make the consecration, never retract it. You are in God's will. But he's saying your growth in that is diminished as throughout your day you're more or less drawn back into yourself. And you do things for your own motives and not because Jesus wants to do it with you. If you do your cooking because you want to please your husband, it's a good motive, but it's not necessarily the motive Jesus wants you to do it. He wants you to do it because I would do that. See, that's the purest motive. So there are levels of what we call intentions, all right? There's a human intention. We don't want people to think we're sloppy. And we do that for that reason. Well, it's a human motive. It's good in itself, but it's not that holy. But he's saying the best intention is because I want to do it with you. And there's nothing contradictory to teaching of Scripture. What did St. Paul mean when he said, I live now, no longer I, but Christ lives in me? What does that mean? In other words, he was so much a part of his life that he was thinking Christ. He was doing that, see? Now, the extension of what those words really mean, many of us didn't know until we got these revelations to tell us Jesus wants to be so much a part of us that he wants to be our thinking. It's like, I want to be your hands, your feet, your heart, your mind. You're just skin, and I fill you. Now, does that contradict what he said? Without me, you can do nothing. You can't do a thing. You can't think, breathe. Well, there it is. It is, but he says now with the consecration. See, take in mind that consecration prayer. This consecration prayer was not made before Louisa. He said, now is the time. He explains why. He said, my people were not prepared. There's a quota that I wanted all my saints to prepare for this time. And just like, for example, the prophets and all the saints of the Old Testament prepared for the Messiah, the time for his coming was not, you know, the time of David, nor the Zechariah and Isaiah. All those people prepared for it. But when Our Lady was created, and she accelerated the time. So now the time of redemption is the time we've lived up to, including the year 2000. That was what he said is preparing for this new Pentecost. This is what this gift of the divine will is about. He said, my saints have prepared the time, and now is the time I want to give them the gift of my divine will. Now, we shouldn't say, well, why didn't he give it before? He explains, my people were not prepared. See? And if he gives the gift, we shouldn't say, well, he shouldn't give the gift. If he gives the gift of the Holy Eucharist, we shouldn't say he shouldn't give it. It's a pure gift. If we're given the gift of baptism and millions of others don't, we can't say he shouldn't give it. So if he gives the gift, we should respect it and honor it. You can choose it or you cannot make it. You're free to do that. See, in other words, the consecration, like the consecration of Gwynia de Montfort. People can make it or they can refuse to make it. If you refuse to make it, then I would say you're not giving as many blessings as you would receive otherwise. See, the gift of his divine will. Oh, he said, my saints did my will, but they didn't live in it. See? He said, look at the sun and the rays coming from the sun. The rays are sanctifying grace. All my saints prior to this time lived in sanctifying grace, but not in this gift as I want to give it now.
Yeah.
See? He didn't give it to John of the Cross or Teresa of Avila, but they attained high sanctity. But he's saying, and so did Grinda de Montfort, I wish I could live in the times coming. We will have saints like we've never had before, because they're the ones living in the divine will.
I believe that, as you said, God knows the right time to call us. And he always sends us people that would lead us, like me and you, or that you have led us into our spiritual growth through different teachings and all. And even my presence here today was God's will, because I give up. And then I said, Lord, that's all right. That's right. That's what I'm saying. And then she calls and says, I'm coming for you. Nobody would leave in Bethpage. So I still believe that there's a right time that God will give you what you need. And like you say, and because of the freedom, because of our free will, he knows when you're ready to submit. Because people kept saying to me, you have faith.